For about 400 years in our church, starting in the middle of the 1500s up until 1963, there was a tradition that when a pope was elected, some of you remember in the 60s even, what it used to be like when a pope was elected. The pope would be carried out of St. Peter's and carried around the square in this, what was called the sedia gestatoria, this throne that was on a platform carried on the backs of people. And he was in magnificent robes, had the triple crown, the tiara, the ostrich feather fans, lots of all of the signs of royalty and all of the opulence and the magnificence that you would give to an earthly sovereign. And the tradition was that three times as the procession wound its way around the square, the papal master of ceremonies, the procession would stop, and the master of ceremonies would go in front of the pope, and he would hold out this basically a smoldering piece of cloth. So think of like this oily, thick black smoke coming up and sort of wafting in the pope's face. And he would say, Sancte Pater, sic transit gloria mundi. Holy Father, thus passes the glory of the world. Three times. Holy Father, thus passes the glory of the world. In other words, don't let all of this go to your head, right? It's not for you as a man. This is the reverence shown by the church, by the people of God, to the vicar of Christ on earth, the one who is the universal pastor of the church, the successor of St. Peter. And it's reverence shown to the office, what he represents. But the wisdom of the church said, as at the same time as we're going to show all of this beautiful display and love for the office that this man holds, we want him, as a man, to remember that all of it is passing away. Thus passes the glory of the world. And you, Holy Father, will one day turn to dust in the ground like all the rest of us, like every one of us. It's a really good thing to remember. Another tradition going back much, much further. And sometimes you see portraits of the saints and they'll have a skull sitting on their desk. Why do they have a skull? It's so morbid. Well, no, they're remembering death. Memento mori. Remember death. Remembering that everything we see around us is passing away. And we ourselves, our earthly life is passing away. We're not here forever. We're only on this earth for a time, and we're not made for this world. We're made for heaven. And it's a good thing as a Christian to always remember that, to keep that before my eyes, that the glory of the world is passing away. It's really easy for us, especially as Americans. Let's face it, most of us live very comfortable lives. And maybe it's not a throne and ostrich feathers and all the rest, but we have pretty comfortable lives. And maybe a lot of riches. And there's a lot of the glory of the world that kind of surrounds us and can lure us into just being comfortable and complacent. And a gospel like we have today is kind of the Lord holding that smoking brand in front of our face saying, hey, remember, all this is passing away. Because see, that's what Jesus did in the gospel we just listened to. He took the opportunity as his disciples were admiring this temple that Herod the Great was building and had been building in Jesus' public ministry for about 46 years. Massive temple. Some of the blocks, they say, were like 40 feet long, these stones. This beautiful temple that's being constructed to the glory of God. And Jesus takes the opportunity to tell them, to foretell the destruction of that temple. when in 70 AD the Romans come and, pretty much as Jesus says, leave barely a stone on top of another stone. You can go to the Holy Land today and still see what's called the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, the only thing basically left standing from that temple of Jesus' time. All of it was going to pass away in very, very short time. And Jesus wants to use that example of this temple, this thing that you think is so solid, this is going to be here forever. Jesus says, in one generation, it's all going to be knocked down. And thus passes the glory of the world. Everything that we see around us, no matter how solid, no matter how permanent it seems, is passing away. And our own lives are passing away. You and I will not live forever. We're made to live forever with God. And this world, as we know it, will come to an end. The scriptures tell us about a new heavens and a new earth. And the resurrection of the body, where our bodies will be raised. We will live forever with God in heaven, or forever apart from Him in hell. That's where every human life is headed, is one of those two destinations. And the church always at this time of year wants to remind us of that, so that we can live in this world with our eyes fixed on the life of the world to come. Those last words of the creed that we say every Sunday. I look forward to the life of the world to come. To live in this world, remembering that I'm made for heaven. Let's do a little experiment. Raise your hand if you would like to go to heaven. Okay. So we're making sure everybody is awake. Okay. Hand if you want to go to heaven. All right. Now, raise your hand if the goal of your life is to become a saint. Some of you aren't so sure. But you're sensing there's a trick question afoot. And so you're thinking, I better raise my hand. So here's the news. The only people that are in heaven are saints. The only way to get to heaven is to become a saint, to allow God's grace to transform you to become like Him. It's the only way. And so if we're aiming for anything less, we're completely missing the point. We might lose it all. The purpose of your life is to become a saint. That's the vocation that we all have from our baptism. The day that God claimed you, Jesus claimed you for His own, applied in your heart what He did on the cross, and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made you His temple. And the purpose of your life is to reflect His glory to the world, to be an image of Christ in the world. That's what every single one of us is called to. And the more that we embrace that, the more we will become saints by God's help and through His grace. And then the way that we do that is what we normally talk about as our vocation. That God makes us to love Him and to love others in a particular way. And for most people in the church, that's through the vocation of marriage. To point to heaven by being an image here on earth, a living image of the love of Christ for His church. That's what heaven is, the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. And so married couples are called to become saints by loving their spouse, by loving the children that God gives to you, and by showing the world the love that God has for us as His people, the love of Jesus, the bridegroom, for the church as His bride. And then there are those that God calls to give up that great good of having a spouse, having children, the great good of marriage, and to live a celibate vocation. Why? Because, as we heard last Sunday, in heaven, there is no marriage. Marriage is to sign the points to heaven. Those of us in celibate vocations, whether in priesthood or in consecrated life, our life points now here on earth to the life of heaven, reminding the world that God alone is the one who satisfies the desires of our hearts. For us as priests, it's to be used by the Lord as His instrument to bring Jesus to people, to bring people to Jesus, especially in the sacraments. for those who are called to religious life. It's also in celibacy, in obedience, like us as priests, to give up my own will to place my life in God's hands. And also additionally through the vow of poverty, to say, I'm going to witness to the world that I can depend on God for everything, and that He alone is the one that we need, and to be used by Him as an instrument in the world in many different ways that religious can be called to serve. But it's a sign here on earth of the kingdom of heaven. That's what celibacy does. It points to heaven and reminds us all that we're made for God. Our heart is made for God. So whether in marriage, in priesthood, in consecrated life, or there's some that the Lord can call to live in a generous single life, to offer their life for others and to live sacrificially for others. And then sometimes maybe those who lived in marriage for many years, your spouse passes on, it's that life to live not for yourself but for others. All of us in one way or another is called to become a saint through living our lives for the Lord and for others. And the one thing that is going to be common in all Christian vocations, in every Christian life, of striving to become a saint, and Jesus points to it in the gospel today, is sacrifice. He talks to the disciples about the persecutions that they're going to undergo. And those things happened in very short order for the church, and they've happened throughout human history, throughout the history of the church. You know, people look at us as priests a lot of times and they say, oh, Father, your life is so beautiful, but gosh, so much sacrifice. So much sacrifice. I have to be honest with you. I look at couples with small children and I say, oh my gosh, your life must be so difficult. So much sacrifice, right? The truth is, every Christian vocation is going to involve sacrifice. If there's not some sacrifice, if there's not some suffering in your life, you're probably doing it wrong. Because where there's love, there will be sacrifice. Because we're willing to suffer for the ones that we love, aren't we? But the beautiful thing about love is that it makes that sacrifice a little easier. Makes it a little less painful when it's done for love, when we suffer for the sake of love. And so every Christian vocation is going to involve that sacrifice. That's life here on earth. It's part of what reminds us that we're made for heaven. So today's an opportunity to really examine our lives. Am I living mindful that I'm made for heaven? Am I living in this world with my eyes fixed on the life of the world to come? Or have I been kind of caught up in the gloria mundi, the glory of the world, the comforts and the pleasures of this life? Are you striving to become a saint? I want to give three invitations to close today. The first invitation is to all of those who are still discerning your vocation. You don't know yet which particular way Jesus is going to call you to be a saint. I want to invite you guys to be generous, to be generous with the Lord, to say, Lord, here is my life and I want to live it for you, not for myself. And if Jesus calls you to be a priest, to be a religious brother or sister, I can promise you nothing is going to bring you greater joy. But be generous with Him. And you can give Him your yes even today, even before you know what He's going to ask. You can say, Lord, I want to say yes. Whatever you're going to ask of me, I give you my yes. And you can make that prayer. Please make that prayer every day. And if you feel that tug, please take steps to allow the Lord to speak to your heart, to confirm that call. Talk to somebody about it. Do something. Allow the Lord to draw your heart because you're made for Him. Second invitation is to the parents and grandparents. And really, it's very similar. It's to teach your children and your grandchildren by your example the joy that comes from saying yes to the Lord, the joy that comes from living for God, the joy that comes from sacrifices that are made for love, and help them to say yes to whatever God is asking of them. Teach them to desire God's will more than their own. Again, only God's will is going to make them happy. Teach them to embrace God's will and to seek it in their life. And then finally, the invitation is to all of you as a parish. And it's to do two things. To pray for vocations to priesthood and religious life. And I'll give you at the end of Mass a practical way to do that. Pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, not just in general out there, but from here, from this parish, even from your own family. And then help the Lord to make that invitation to plant a seed or maybe to water a seed that's already there in someone's heart by actively inviting. You know the people that the Lord might be calling. The young people that are generous, that love to serve, that are sacrificial, that have a joy that can draw people to the Lord. Please make that invitation to them. Say, hey, have you ever thought about being a priest? I see you serving, maybe serving at the altar. I see you helping in these different ways. You have a joy, you have a love for the Lord. I hope that if Jesus calls you to priesthood, you'd be open to that. That's a really powerful invitation. Hey, I see you prayerful, you love the Lord, you love to serve. I wonder if Jesus might be calling you to be a religious sister. What a beautiful call, and I hope that if you hear that call, you'd say yes to it. That's a powerful, powerful invitation, because sometimes when we ourselves are getting the call, we can make all kinds of excuses. But when someone else comes and says, this is what I see in you, and especially when our own parents, like my parents, they're very happy that I'm a priest, but they really honestly are happier that I did God's will for my life. That encouragement for me gave me great freedom to be able to follow the Lord wherever He called me. Please make that encouragement, make that invitation to people in your own families and here in the parish. So as we continue with our Mass today, let's ask the Lord to help us to remember that we are made for heaven, that we're made to be saints, to not be distracted by the glory of this world, but to live in this world with our eyes fixed on the life of the world to come, to live in Him so that we can die in Him, so that we can live with Him forever.